It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I feel like I remember a lot, but I don't remember this.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. You know what to do. Like what you see, what you hear. Hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Molly Rankin of the band Always. They're back with their 3rd album called Blue Rev. We're going to be talking about, her sense of nostalgia and, as she says, feeling like an old person, searching for forgotten media, and the attempt at keeping some mystery in the social age. Molly's going to go on to talk about channeling R.E.M. and the Smiths, possibly even covering the Primitives or Lush in the future, and the importance of poking fun at yourself as well. So let's do this, shall we? We're talking Blue Rev. It's Kyle Meredith with Molly Rankin of Always.
Hi, how are you?
Congratulations on Blue Rev. I feel like that's where I should start right now because, I love what you all do every single time. And the accolades now, the end of the year happened and you guys released it just at that perfect time where people could really put it on the top 10 list. And I feel like it was everywhere. I mean, does this still surprise you in that sort of way when you get all of these accolades like that?
Yeah, I am kind of blown away by just the kindness that's been thrust our way. I felt, for a while, and I'm sure Alec could agree that we felt like we were going off the deep end. So it's cool that it's not just been a huge flop. You know, that's where my bar is.
That's not a huge. So what do you mean? Like you thought you were going off the deep end? Like to what extent does that mean?
I don't know. I just thought some of our ideas, I couldn't tell if they were just things that we were attached to, because we had been sitting with them for so long. I thought maybe they were just a little bit too strange or off-putting and just little weird idiosyncratic artifacts that no one else would really connect with. Yeah, so I didn't know if that would really resonate with other people.
I don't know. I'm personally speaking here. I feel like those are the moments, like there's that general thought like, oh, you've got to make it universal for it to work. But all of my favorite stuff is sort of the opposite of that, you know, like this super inside jokes that I have no clue what they're talking about. Like, those are my favorite parts of songs.
I feel that way too, like things that have multiple meanings depending on who's hearing, you know, the words or interpreting them. But yeah, again, like, you know, the record isn't, it's not some ambient drone record. It is, you know, all of the songs are pretty poppy, so it's not like we were too out there.
Well, I don't know if I picked up this line from something you all said or the press release or another interview, but sort of a line that stuck out to me somewhere anyway was kind of hearing this record as someone looking at the present through the scope of the past. And I do hear it a lot like that, you know, not even knowing the specific stories or the specific people that you're talking about in here, but I don't know. Let me just start there. Like, is that on the right? Do you kind of hear the album in this sort of way as well?
Good question. I mean, I do kind of feel like an old person. and I spent a lot of time around old people in my youth, just going to square dances and sort of what happens in old communities where you go to all the funerals and all the wakes and the weddings. And that's kind of what you do when you live in a small town. But so I feel like an old person, and maybe that goes into what we write and how we sound. But also, yeah, I do like things that sound old and fuzzy and, you know, a little bit worn around the edges, as opposed to, you know, something huge and expansive and glossy and pristine.
Well, there's even like, and I think this goes in a different direction of nostalgia than maybe what you're talking about, but like, there's that image that you all put out when Very Online Guy was released as a single, and you're all gathered around the old computer, which I'm pretty sure I have one of those computers around here. But like in that sense, like, and maybe that's just a goofy picture with an opportunity to do that. But do you find then that you're like a hunter of nostalgia, of like things that are lost?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it is hard to find that stuff. I wish I'd known you had one of those computers, because, man, did I go down some crazy Kijiji. I don't know if you have Kijiji in the U.S., but just talking to these dudes who have these old Commodore 64s and stuff that were really, really wild people that I had no success in renting, you know, an old machine from. People who own that stuff are really protective over it, rightly so. But yeah, I guess that we took that picture because I felt like it was the most fun we'd ever had making a video. And it was probably the least expensive video we've made in a tiny room with like a couple little pieces of fabric as backdrops. And it was just cool to kind of document bare bones the setup was.
It's a fun pick. And for what it's worth, I'm sitting, not that computer, but I am sitting next to a computer that I think is running Windows 2000. And next to it is just a stack of CD-ROMs that's I've just gotten more or less for like a buck through eBay.
On eBay hunting for that stuff.
Oh, I am. And I don't know why.
So I could ask you the same question then.
I am. I mean, that's true. And I think that's why, you know, I related to that one part of it because, yeah, well, that's what we do. You know, I think a lot of us look for ourselves in the art. But yeah, I do. I love finding lost media, and especially in that kind of stuff. I mean, whether it's there are old music magazines. I don't know if you remember those, like Launch Magazine or Blender before it became a real thing. They did CD-ROM magazines, you know, thinking that was the wave of the future. And then the internet sort of took them out. But and there's all the, yeah, just, and it's lost. Most of the stuff never made it to YouTube. And why do I like that? Why does anyone like that? You know, it's, I don't know what it is about lost media, but it is fun.
Yeah. And also just sort of I know what you mean. And I find even the logos, like old logos are so cool. The colors they use and the texture of the paper. I find myself just sort of looking for that stuff and cutting it out and using it as show posters and stuff, just because it's, I don't know if there's a specific approach to the way that people would assemble something visual that it has changed.
I mean, obviously, yeah, maybe it's exactly what you said. It's something that isn't, what's the word, ubiquitous? I mean, it's just not, you know, this stuff isn't everywhere. It's almost like a little secret, I guess. The logos too. I totally understand what you're talking about right there.
I like the retro, like fast food chains when they upgrade their logos and stuff. It's always so sad because the old, you know, the 70s version of it is usually way cooler.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Molly Rankin of Always. Like, I'll use this as a way to get back into Blue Rev, this album, because you take a song like Tom Verlaine, which is not about Tom Verlaine, but the idea of Tom Verlaine, the idea of television. I mean, it's that's a band to me that's mythical because of the mystery. Like, it's not just like most people don't even know if they're dead or alive that I found out. There's something, you know, it's like legends because of what they won't give us, which is like everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I really love that approach to just being sort of behind a curtain, but it's hard to do that now. But yeah, I enjoy the mystery and the intrigue of what you don't know. Sometimes, you know, the more you find out, the less exciting it is.
Well, how do you take that on as an artist in 2023 now? I mean, that's got to be an interesting tightrope.
I mean, it is. You do have to be around in a certain capacity, I think. You know, just, you know, bands can't really, very few bands can get away with, you know, certain not having specific platforms to promote and to get out there and be seen and heard. It's a hard line to walk, I guess, but I'd kind of just put stuff out there that I think is pretty or cool and try to stay away from overt branding and sponsored things and whatever just kind of feels gross. But everyone has their own little meter for what they are willing to do and not willing to do.
No, I feel like you guys do that well. I mean, again, I say that as a fan, but there is an air of mystery to Always, which I think is probably funny from the artist's point of view sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, I guess you do have to give a piece of yourself, and that can be in the music too. You know, you do have to share a small nugget of yourself to be able to reach people to a certain degree, yeah. In my opinion.
Well, you know, on the idea of television and Tom Verlaine, I mean, for an album full of 2 and 3 minute great little songs, do you guys have any 10 minute jams in you that you work off like that?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, sometimes we don't really let things stew as long as a lot of other bands. We're not in a rush, but it all seems very economical.
Well, that works out. I take a song like Pressed. I think you even, as we're talking about other artists, being a bit Smiths inspired on that song. But there's a line in there, Leigh Barron, God, I can't even say that word.
You got this.
Eulogize Holy Water, Lemon Rind. I thought, how Michael Stipe of you.
Oh, I mean, R.E.M. is definitely the chorus of that song. We're, you know, striving for an R.E.M. vibe. So it is kind of like this Smith's R.E.M. stew.
Today's Michael Stipe's birthday.
Oh,
coincidentally.
Really?
Yeah, just right before we did this, I kind of realized that. So for what that's worth, I think they're my number. Like, that's kind of silly, right? Who's your all time favorite band? Like, well, I don't know what that means, but I think REM's kind of my all time favorite band. Like, if I've got to go to bat on that one.
Yeah, we were having a conversation the other night, just me and a few friends, about, you know, American rock bands, great American rock bands, and REM is right up there. They're in the top slot probably for me.
And it's just kind of crazy how many different sounds that they continue to give right up until the end. It's almost nuts because they didn't have a unified sound, you know?
Yeah, they inhabited a lot of different fidelities too.
Bringing the Smiths and just being goofy, have you kept up with the latest Moz drama?
Oh man, no. Is it better if I don't know though?
Well, I don't know about this. Usually, yes. Because, right, to be a Smiths fan, and that's all you have to say, right? We all know what that means. But this one's one of those, like, it's one of the ones where he released a single and then the album release date, and then he has a lot of guests on it, but now Miley Cyrus is pulling off, and he says the label isn't releasing it anymore. And who knows? Because it's just, that's what happens with Morrissey, and there's a fun story to go along with it every time. Apropos of nothing about this interview, by the way.
I mean, he's got a beautiful voice.
He does have a beautiful voice. Do you guys, I'll stay with the playful for a second. You know, as we talk about favorite musicians, have you ever covered another album in full? Like you know, artists cover songs, but have you all tackled a full album by a band? And if not, would you ever? Who would it be?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, if we did, maybe it would be like a Primitives record or something.
Oh,
I really love, you know, the sound of those albums. I don't know. See, I have such a strange, you know, like a lot of the music that I listen to, like we could never cover like a Clean song or something because I don't sing in that register. So we have to be like really specific about the songs. And I don't know who that would be. A Lush record, maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good call right there. I would pay to see that. I'd love to
hear it. Give us like 15 years when we're, you know.
Noted. I'll put it in the calendar. Mode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on the dance card here. Having the record with Pharmacists right at the top, as I listen to it, and I don't know if you mean for it to listen in this sort of, you know, straight line arc story kind of a thing, but is Fourth Figure a conclusion of Pharmacists in any way? Do you think of the songs in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I liked the idea of that just being sort of a secret track on the record. And I, you know, that I have a lot of experience with being in a dance hall when you know, the cans are rolling around at the end of the night. But I don't know, like you can't really do a secret track anymore. Do you remember those?
Oh, absolutely. The hidden tracks are great. Yeah.
Like it works on CD, I guess. I mean, I try to make records and I know Elle does too, where there's an arc and, you know, kind of an intro and an outro and not literally, but, you know, just sort of like this vague sense of a complete thing, which I think most artists do.
I do love hearing that song, especially not even in the sense of like a hidden track, but just as a conclusion to, you know, a thought started in there. And the way you play with, I'll say it this way, the way you play with my emotions through the album, because I know you totally had me in mind, but like Velveteen, like, is the narrator insecure or is the narrator taking control, if that's the only two options?
I mean, you can be both.
Sure.
But which I feel like the album has a lot of that, just a wide spectrum of personality flip-flops but yeah, I think mainly insecure in sort of in a way that's poking fun at themselves, which I find really important to do in songs when you're feeling sorry for yourself so much and things just seem a little bit melodramatic, to balance it with some wit, which is, you know, what a lot of my favorite bands have done over the years.
Especially the poking. What, there was someone, I was reading comment section somewhere, and I think it was around Pomeranian Spinster, but someone called you Molly Mayhem. Here comes Molly Mayhem on that song.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun too, and I could say that about so many of these songs. I mean, the playfulness in Born in Bristol, and, you know, After the Earthquake, I think it's just a classic already. And Very Online Guy, which we, you know, I started with talking, like there are these moments of catastrophe in that song, like a feeling it could fall apart right up until the bridge. You know, like how did you all put that song together?
Very Online Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Alec ran the second chorus through a chorus echo, and it just, you know, bent the pitch and took me into different genders and registers, and I was just sort of like bouncing all over the place. And in the beginning, I thought it was really funny, but then we both were thinking, oh no, like we put real lyrics in here, how are we going to get the same thing, because a lot of that stuff just can't be redone in the same magical way. It's just like in the vocals for Pomeranian Spinster, that was just a random rehearsal recording that we had with me, Carrie, and Alec, and I was just like yell singing, you know, having a beer or something, and just trying a bunch of stuff ad-libbing, and Alec kind of just unearthed that vocal take after months of not knowing it existed, and there was really nothing else that could compare to it, and that energy is just something that we had the opportunity to capture with all this extra time, you know, with everything going on in the world. So there is a lot of little moments like that on the album that I'm glad that, you know, we didn't try to redo in a more sterile way. Did I answer your question at all?
You did, because no, because I really, I mean, I just think you guys made a classic, and that's sometimes hard to see in the moment, but sometimes it's also really obvious. And there's something about this record, and I've loved both your records before this, but seriously, Blue Rev, you know, I do. I feel like we're going to be singing these for a long, long time.
Oh, thanks for saying that. It's that's very nice.
Well, Molly, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk about it. Seriously, it's always such a pleasure to hear from you all. I selfishly hope it doesn't take another 5 years, but whatever.
Hey, I'll remember you next time. I promise.
I'm just a guy with a face and a voice.
Now that I know you have that old computer, yeah.
Here's the thing. I'll say this, not about the old computer, but like, so the one I've got next to me, you're talking about people who won't give them up, you know, are very... a friend of mine who's a scientist and does the same nerdery that I do in collecting, he just gave me this one. And he's like, I've got like dozens of them in my basement. My wife needs to get rid of them. So he just gave it to me because I needed something that ran an old version of Windows to play these old dumb CD-ROMs. So there are those guys out there. There are those guys out there.
Damn, that's a hero right there.
Molly, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
The last time that Molly and I spoke was back in 2017, which left no impression on her whatsoever, apparently. But it was a fun conversation. I'm going to include that one here as well. This is us talking about their sophomore record, Antisocialites. It was a record that saw Molly exile herself to a small island in Canada for a bit, resulting in really what was an excellent follow-up that loosely tells of a relationship arc. So we got to talk about the record, favorite punk bands, and Norman Blake of Teenage Fan Club. So part two, Kyle Meredith with Always.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'll be asking the questions today.
You know what? That's fine. I don't know how I can handle them. Questions are hard. They really are. I don't know how you do this.
I don't really. I don't do it well. I'm trying, though.
My job to continuously come up with questions, and every now and then when I have to be on the other side, it's really uncomfortable. So I don't know, to be in a press day like you are, I feel for you. My heart goes out to you.
This is a weird junket. It's like you don't get to see anyone. It's kind of cool, though.
That's why I like it. It's, you know, I'm sorry to borrow this, for an anti-socialite who works in media and likes to be around things like that, but also likes to be in a room by myself with that record. I've been listening, I guess, since I got the link for the last couple of days, and I feel like I'm really having a good time with this, and I'm dancing around and smiling, and then when I finally do stop to listen to the lyrics, I realize that I've been really enjoying someone's heartbreak.
That's fine. That's the idea.
Yeah, and I you know, I won't pry too much, but am I enjoying your heartbreak or a really great fiction piece?
I sadly have to say it's a fictional narrative, but is it more exciting if I say it's my life? Because I'm sure I could come up with something juicy.
I don't know that it is. I sort of, for once, enjoy the fiction piece because you've crafted something really cool.
I think, you know, the feelings are quite real. I was channeling some energy, but yeah, it wasn't, I have not, you know, drowned or anything like that.
I guess I didn't mean to go completely overboard with that. I did that again. I didn't mean to. No pun intended. I guess, that's the thing about writing a piece like this, and I think maybe the phrase was used in the press release too, about where fantasy meets reality. And I don't know, there's a story about you heading to an island to do this, right?
Yes, I was exiled to Toronto Island via ferry, brought a bunch of gear on there on sort of like a trolley wheelbarrow thing, and set up a PA in a large open concept classroom, and just sort of had like a private concert for myself. Many nights, probably like 2 weeks. But yeah, during the day, I could just like walk along the shore and think of melodies, or bike around the island with headphones in, which is not really something I advise anyone to do in a city.
So why the island, though? Why cast away yourself?
Well, I realized when we were doing all this traveling that I had written a lot of songs in isolation on islands, and so I thought this would be the best way for me to do that again without necessarily flying to, like, say, Nova Scotia. And I think it was, you know, I think it was successful. I came up with some ideas that I'm, you know, I feel good about, and some that didn't get used, of course, which is the way with making records, but it's helpful.
That word, especially isolation, because there's something about that in the lyrics. I mean, you know, if this is a breakup album, fictionalized as it is, it does seem to come from a place of loneliness is not the word. And I'll just reuse isolation again. And, you know, and the more I think about that, it seems like, given where you are in your career at this point in the cycle, like, I don't know, do you feel like you spend a lot of your life like that? I mean, I know what tour bus life can be like. And
I haven't been on a bus with Always yet. I'm not sure if that's in the works, but I enjoy being alone. I don't usually spend a whole lot of time alone when we're traveling and playing shows and doing sessions and things like that. But I really do like to just be bored and to be creative. That's kind of how I spent my childhood, and it's a comfort zone for me.
Do you think of it as a concept record in that way?
Yeah, that's fair to say. It's something I can draw from. I mean, I've gone through things in life that I can draw from those experiences in order to channel some sort of, you know, emotional content into writing, like, pop songs. And I've always enjoyed putting dark subject matter into a sparkly 3-minute, 15-second pop song.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, the pop version, the pop side of all of this, because, and I guess that's the other part of the story. You're searching for, you know, you were listening, I guess, to a lot of your favorite LPs as the story went in these mornings. And to me, that always felt like, so I'm not a songwriter, but that always felt dangerous. Like, if you're listening to a lot of music as you're writing music, I mean, how, you know, what's the line before that music starts to seep in and you're like, no, I can't sing that. That's that song. That's whatever that is.
I don't know how much melody crossover is in the record. I'm not going to be the one to point that out either on air, but I think you'd pick up little affectations from people and ways of playing guitar lines and sort of key change ideas, tones, delivery, things like that. I'm really fascinated by the idea of influence and how it affects you and whether or not it actually does.
Right, and you didn't find that it completely did then?
I don't know. I try to channel that in some parts of this project, and I think that eventually it ends up sounding like our band.
Yeah, well, it does.
In the end.
Yeah,
so I feel like it's a healthy thing to do.
And I should point out, there was never a moment when I listened to this and I went, oh yeah, that's totally, that's... sort of just wondering
egregious.
How the... Yeah, just sort of wondering how the writer, you know, kind of hears it, because I know that when you do record something, you sort of hear it completely different, especially when you're, you know, oh, I recorded the bass for this thing, and suddenly it's a bass-heavy song for you or something, so...
It's very hard to be objective about your own music. Sometimes we have some friends from where we come from in the East Coast of Canada that we'll send things to, and they're very straight and always have been, so they'll tell you if something's garbage. We've used them sort of like our little secret weapon.
Right in the middle of the record, and it's probably one of my favorite parts, is you get the song Hey and Lollipop, and I don't know, everything turns into a little bit more hard driving. There's a great lead going on at Hey, and I don't know what's happening there. I mean, is it fair to say there's a punkier movement happening right kind of as the centerpiece?
We do have a fair amount of energy live. I definitely hear that often, that our self-titled is a little bit more subdued than our concerts. But yeah, we're drawn to, like, bands like Royal Headache or, you know, the Ramones or, you know, Buzzcocks, bands like that. Not saying that we sound like those bands, but we listen to a fair amount of that, and it's fun to see people moving around in the audience to certain things.
So when you go into it, do you, like, say, oh, I need to write something like that because... maybe this song isn't, you know, this group of songs are too laid back?
It all depends on where the melody starts, but yeah, I don't have a quota for sad songs versus more peppy ones. Yeah. It just sort of ended up like that. And we had a few other songs that didn't get on the record, but these ones all sort of fit together in a nice way.
Yeah, well, I love how it's all fit together. I love the story. I loved your first record. I like this one even more. And I know that's
sort of always
the goal. And I'm sure it's also been talked about, but the fact that you got Norman Blake on there helping him out, helping you guys out. That's fantastic. I'm a fanny, so it's.
Oh, he's so kind. It's a little bit bizarre. Like he's very. You don't suspect he's in a really huge band.
No, that's true. Well, that was fun. It was great talking to you. I can't wait to see you guys take this one out on the road and for the release and everything. I do love it so much. So thank you for the conversation.
Thanks for listening to the record.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And my thanks to Molly Rankin. The new Always album is called Blue Rev. Big old thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up again with all three episodes that we put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcast, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me doing a show starting 6 p.m. every 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday. It's a song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Damn, we're off to a good start.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.